rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hi, Liz. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing very well. It's another beautiful day. Sunny out, a little windy, and I'm happy to be alive.
Me too. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. We usually get up and we each meditate separately, do our little thing. We'll talk more about that in another podcast, but we always walk Teo, and we had a special gift this morning at about 4 a.m. He threw up, and I would say that you and I aren't especially good in the morning. We have our challenges for different reasons.
Yeah, that's an understatement. But we're getting better at it.
Yeah, I would say that you are we're both kind of semi-asleep, but your characteristics are just being kind of slow to respond, and mine is a form of Tourette's.
Yeah, I'm comatose but functioning. That's what I am. I'm comatose but functioning.
Yeah. And I am reverting back to when I cared for my mom and being irritated.
Yeah, and I learned my place there. I learned my place. But
we worked it out. We had a short recovery, which is really good. I think when things happen in your relationship, the time to recover and just be back it's shortening. It has shortened.
It has shortened drastically, and it's becoming easier. And you get better at being able to forgive and accepting, and accepting forgiveness. And that's something you have to learn, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff tied to that that has nothing to do with each other, just life in general and your past. So it's been just... It's really good. I like connecting in the morning, and we go our separate ways, and we're going to discuss that. Not literally, we're in the same house, but we do our own thing. But I'm looking forward to actually connecting and doing some stuff together in the morning. But sometimes it's good, just
nice. Some yoga.
Yoga. But we both go meditate, do our thing. And for me, meditation was a learned thing that I'm still working on. And but now I use it daily. In every day. So it's been a really good thing to learn. Just some childhood trauma, not what you would think, made me not want to meditate.
That would be definitely a good story for another day.
Exactly.
So you should jot that down.
I will.
I should jot that down. We wanted to kind of let you get to know Teo a little bit. I love people... that are listening that want to stay on our cozy podcast and don't go to the YouTube space. I have podcasts that are also on YouTube, and I just prefer the podcast. But we can have him come over now.
Damn.
And basically, Teo has a characteristic. He's a Portuguese water dog. He's a working dog. He doesn't do much work at our house, but they're bred to help the fishermen in Portugal collect the ropes and guard the ships. And he has a reaction to UPS trucks and white trucks. And we've started walking with this little toy that he has. Is the heart out here?
It is the heart out here.
So we're taking the camera and hey buddy, can you look at the camera? There he is. So he doesn't shed, so he's at his long, hairy stage. He has long hair, and Aaron went to find the heart. That makes for a good podcast when your co-podcaster leaves the room. So I got Teo, I think he'll be 5 this year. And I had seen a Portuguese water dog in Oakland. I was working a job, and the dog's name was Mario. And Mario, if you're out there, I'd love to reconnect with your owner and you. And there is the heart, which is, he's sniffing the heart. We should have washed it for the show. And then he, that's his other favorite toy, which is Gator. And I can't really see what's on the camera, but you can see his amazing fluffiness. And in a few weeks, he's going to get a haircut. And we thought we could do some before and after, because it's amazing. He looks like a pretty big dog, but he is not very big.
Well, he's 65 pounds, right?
Yeah, so he's medium.
Yeah, he's medium. Mm-hmm. But it's, well, when somebody asks, what kind of dog is it? I say, oh, he's a Rasta dog, when he's like this. What's a Rasta dog? Oh, he has dreadlocks. I've never seen a dog with dreadlocks. He has dreadlocks. And when he gets shaved, he looks like a completely different dog.
That means we're just not good dog owners that would let our dogs have dreads. But he doesn't have too many dreads.
No.
He has dreads in his area that aren't shown to the public too often. And
that's a nice way of putting it.
But he, I would say, I hesitate sometimes to talk about him. He's also generally the, in my books just as a water dog, but it's kind of like a Dalmatian, a dog that is wonderful and beautiful, but has some characteristics that wouldn't be for everyone. And he's a very active dog, and he, you know, some dogs are, if you like to be active in hiking, if you like to throw the ball, he does, like, we've just started having him carry his heart on walks, and it's like a miracle. We're going to find something a little thinner, which will be more comfortable, but because he's a working dog, he hasn't been barking at the trucks, and it's been really nice because he's focused on the job. And we like Jazz from Cali Canine. He was on Netflix, and he's got a, we'll put his information in the show notes. We'd like to take a class with Jazz at some point, but he talks about that, that dogs are play inspired or food inspired or,
right.
Yeah, Taylor and likes to work.
I saw an episode where he took a three-legged pit bull where the owner had friends, like, I don't know what it was, like 3 to 5 friends that had been already bitten by this pit bull. This guy, he's in Hollywood, found this dog on the street, and his leg, sorry to say this anyway, his leg got blown off accidentally. So the dog survived, it's three-legged, and had issues. And this gentleman, Jazz, he's a dog whisperer personified, and he just has a way of getting the dogs to understand what to do and not to do. And I don't know if you ever cure a dog, but he didn't have the biting behavior after, you know, he went through all the episodes. But he actually took the dog away from the owner, not literally, but he took him away to go train him and then brought him back. And we were just really impressed by it. And so...
Yeah, and they have an online do-it-yourself version, a Zoom version where you get to meet with people, and then a camp where they take the dogs. It's outside of LA, and then I think they were opening up, and they probably have it by now, like a San Jose area, but I could have that wrong, but we'll put the information in the show notes. And we weren't really planning to talk about that, but we are. We keep saying we're going to do that. It's a bit of a splurge, the one where you spend a week or two with the dog doing the classes or also the camp, but we will do it. And we're at least going to start in, maybe saying it on the podcast will make us sign up for it.
Yes.
And we can start the first level one at least and have more to talk about and see what happens.
We've both had a lot of dogs in our lives. We're dog people. We're animal people. And Teo, if you list all his positive qualities compared to this one issue, and the issue is he's in fear. And that's what I see. He gets very, you know, it seems fearful and upset about it. I think that if we go and do this, that will be the missing link to make him feel better in his own skin. And that's what I think.
We got an inexpensive van that we're going to, we don't really know what we're going to do with it, but we think it's going to be the Punk Farm Love Life tour van and where we can go see shows and go do fun things and do a little van conversion in it. But he does not like white trucks or UPS, FedEx, anything shaped in that size. And so this is white and shaped very close to a UPS truck size. It's not as big as like a big big one of those transit vans or anything. It's Jesus had an Astro van. It's a Chevy Astro van.
Yeah.
And
it's a cool
I think it's Wookiee Foot has that song, Jesus Drove an Astro Van. And he loves it. And he just, I'll say, is this Teo's van? Oh, let's go for a ride. And he leaps up from the very beginning. So it's not the color. I think it's the engine noise.
Right, because when he hears a motorcycle, you know, thundering or idling next to us sometimes at a traffic light, that will set him off. That
yeah, sound. I think it's like a low motor noise.
But yeah, but it seems to be white car. Unfortunately, it's my understanding that the number one color for cars is white. And so
that's his color.
That's his color, you know. And where we live, a lot of people have big pickup trucks. And yeah, and so.
Are we talking about
but
you?
He's the sweetest guy. He sleeps with us on the bed. I think we have a big bed, but even when we didn't. And he loves to camp. He lays right next to Lizzie, next to her when we're camping. And he likes, and the other thing, he likes the water so much, we took him out kayaking, and he sat right at the bow of the kayak, just like he's supposed to, his back straight up, protecting the kayak with the water, just, yeah, he's in heaven.
Yeah, as a puppy, I took him in the water, this is before I met Legs, and made sure I pulled him in and got him swimming. He's a water dog, and when he was a little puppy, I was on this canoe, and he knew the word swim already, and he was a little guy, and maybe I'll post a picture of that. It's adorable, and he just went, he jumped out of the canoe, and so he's a puppy, he's just swimming, and I'm like, we need to pull him out. The first time I was with him, it's like, oh, he'll be fine, I'll just swim to the shore. I'm like, no, we're not going to risk it. He would have been fine, I think, but he was just a little guy, but he knew the word swim, and he just jumped right out of the boat.
Right, he's a confident swimmer now. So he gets in the water, he's pretty confident once he gets going. So, but we don't want him to jump in the Sacramento River right now because it's so high and the current is so strong.
Yeah.
He'd be going downstream. We got to go drive to go find him. But yeah,
it's fun to watch him swim. We do go down to the river and throw the ball in. Well, the next thing we're going to talk about is just continue on. Last time we started this full moon ritual list and just reading the questions, and we use this every full moon, and we were just reading them to kind of let you know what they're about for anyone that doesn't know already, and to see if we wanted to rewrite anything. And so what you got?
Well, so as Lizzie said on our last episode, she explain what the full moon ritual was or is, and it's something that we do monthly on the full moon, and we look forward to it, and it's done once a month. You can work out things in between, but you know, you do it once a month, and some people get so enthused about it they want to do it more, and it's really good just to follow what the professionals say.
And can I add something?
Of course.
You don't have to do all of these questions. There's 17 on this list, so we usually pick a couple, we each pick a couple, you know, maybe three or four or five, and so you don't have to do the whole list because that might take a long time.
And not in order sometimes.
Right,
we don't
always
do in order. So so Lizzie went through the first three, so I'm now going to go to the next two or three. So the next one is there something you're not speaking up about to maintain the current situation? So I've used this to you know, instead of sometimes what's good about for the full moon ritual, instead of, you know, let's say on this at week one, something occurs. Now, knowing that I have the full moon ritual in 3 weeks, what I will do, instead of saying something about something at that particular moment, I will actually think about it. Is it important enough to say something? I'll journal about it. And what usually happens is that by the time it gets to the full moon ritual, it's not an issue. It's not something even worth talking about because it's dissolved itself. I, you know, had to figure out what my part in all of this is. And once I've broken that all down and knowing that I have this opportunity in a few weeks to deal with this, it sort of lets you take time to think about, you know, what the question means. And so on all of these. And so, you know, I have no problem speaking up for myself and telling Lizzie what, you know, is there something I'm not speaking up about and what it's occurring. But if you're doing this right and you're what I believe, communicating on a daily basis, she shouldn't, it shouldn't be sprung upon her. I think she'll know for the most part what's going on, and she's not taken aback by what you're saying. You know, we don't treat this as like, I'm gonna zinger you, or this is just gonna be a, you know, blindsided surprise. That defeats the whole purpose. The purpose is to be able to have an open forum to discuss things as a couple and know that you have a place, this period of time, to be able to do that. Do you agree, or do you have a different?
Yeah, that was good. I think that was a very good thing of what it should be. And I think you're very generous, because I think that you're probably better at keeping things for the full moon ritual than I am. And we just, you know, it's been 2.5 weeks since we've been living together, and we've talked about having like a roommate meeting, and we haven't done it. So this would also be something as it relates to living together, like, is there something that's driving you crazy? Sometimes when you first meet a person, you're open about everything because there's really no skin in the game yet. And then when you get to know each other and you're in a relationship, right, you're like, oh yeah, that might rock the boat here, or you just didn't say it already. So this is good to think about that and what you might, and we work on this in advance. So it's a nice time to think, is there something that I've been holding back? I would say to you that I would like to be better about, you know, grouping my things so that you don't feel nitpicked. And especially since we just moved in together, I feel like there was a little flurry of things that I would let you know how I kind of like things. And you've been really wonderful and generous about it, but I could see that would really get tiring. So thank you. Thank you for being a really generous person.
Well, but you make it easy to be generous.
Oh, thank you. Okay, we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable.
No, I'm not. So the point is this, is that I was realistic when I came to move in. So let's be realistic. We're both in our 60s. We've had Come on, you're going to figure it out eventually. And so we're not spring chickens. So we got a past here. And so for me, I came here. It was Lizzie's house that I came to. She opened her doors wide open for me and with open arms and brought me in. And so, you know what? That in itself, I feel blessed. And so I am not going to, you know, if something isn't perfect, I'm not going to worry about it at this point. But pretty much, you know what, everyone, it's pretty perfect. So
I think, what do you think about just leaving that at that for that?
Just one, yeah.
Is that okay?
I think that's great.
And do you think we need to rewrite that at all?
No.
I think that's good.
I think that's an important one.
Okay.
And we've used it. And you'll, as we continue on, you'll find out that our full moon rituals have been one thing and evolved into another thing. And if you continue to listen, you'll hear how it's evolved over time and where it is now.
Well, you said that before, so I think you should just say it in a succinct way.
In a succinct way. Early on, many times, we have a full moon ritual when we've had things going on. And it's been a little like scary for both of us, like not knowing what to expect. How much firepower do you want to use for this?
And, see, it's such a man's terminology of warfare.
It's not war. I don't like
okay,
guns.
Okay, I've got the bicycle.
Oh yeah, we got the bicycle. So, and you wanted me to be succinct. So let me just. So all I can say is this: we have now evolved to where it has turned into this loving, caring, sweet discussion about the reasons why we love each other. Yes, we go down the questions, but it's with the intent of letting the other person know really how special they are and how it relates. And yes, we do discuss important things, but I will be honest, I was fearful at times going into this because I knew my role in this, and I knew I was going to hear painful things that I didn't want to hear, and I was going to have to work on them, and it made me a better person. It made me a better partner to you because you were honest with me. You told me what I needed to hear. I needed to figure out what, on my side of the street, what I needed to clean up so that when we decided to live together, the transition was smooth. For me, I felt this move was smooth. And so I believe the full moon ritual got us to that point. And I've always looked forward to them, but now I really look forward to them.
Yeah, I think part of, thank you, got the bike horn, since I was interrupting. I think moving to more of a gratitude thing was this point in time during the move, like right before the move, where I said, hey, we're moving, let's make it short and let's just focus on, because a lot of the questions are about gratitude and reminding each other of that. And a lot of the full moon ritual is already that. So I think I said, let's just make it short, let's just make it gratitude. And then we were actually in the car and I turned and said, let's just do it now. And usually we have it much more as a sit down thing, but we were in the middle of the move. And so we will see what it's like next time.
Correct.
But I never felt fearful, but we definitely were working through some things and it created a good structure. And I'm sorry you felt fearful.
Early on. I haven't, it's been, it was just early on.
Yeah.
But it was mostly because I knew some of the stuff that I was doing. And I knew because of who you are, and this is what I love about you, you were straightforward. You told me like it was. Not in a mean way, you just told me like it was. And so I was expecting it, but I'm the type of person, even though I'm expecting it, having to hear it, it sometimes is difficult. But it's what I needed to do to make some changes in my life overall. So besides improving my relationship, it's improving my relationship with my daughter and other interpersonal relationships. So it's bigger than just our relationship. It's you know, bled is not the right word. It's just gone or seeped into the rest of my life. And, you know, I don't think I could have had the conversation I had with my daughter yesterday if I hadn't worked through all this stuff. I'm a different person. She tells me I'm a different person. So this stuff works.
That's wonderful. Yeah, WendySpeaks.com has a download of it. We'll put it in the show notes. And thanks for sharing all that.
Thank you.
So
the next thing we're going to get into is when you listen to our podcast, you're going to hear some music. And there was a lot of thought that went into this music. And Lizzie's going to explain, you know, where it came from and so forth. And then we'll have some interaction here of some thoughts about it. So I'll let you start, and then I'll add my little piece in there. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so Legs was, we knew we wanted to talk about, explain the music. It's called Stranger's Cry, and it's by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves is the name of the artist, and who is my brother. He is no longer living, and we may get into more of that story in a future podcast, but it's, you know, he was really influenced by Hank Williams and other really traditional, original country artists, and he had a rough life of alcohol and drug abuse, and we thought, well, you know, we're sober, we're going to have sober topics, is this really appropriate? Some of the lyrics you may hear if you listen to the song definitely reference some of that. And Legs was really wonderful in saying, hey, I just feel like Squint Todd was punk. He was unique and he ventured out to do his own thing. He actually spent some time in Nashville and that part of the world doing open mics. And I'm really grateful that that's the music we're using. And I think that's about all I wanted to say, other than he has other songs and we plan to put them on Spotify. They're very much drug and alcohol songs, which wouldn't be something I would listen to every day. But the bittersweet aspect of what we're doing and what his life was, I'm really happy that we can include that song.
And hopefully Teo doesn't go crazy here. But there's one thing I want to add. You know, our podcast is Punk Farm Love Life. So you hear the word punk. And you would think, oh, well, Legs and Lizzie would just automatically use some like punk song in this. And we didn't. And there was a reason. And it was because punk is not just music. Punk is it's a way of thinking. It's DIY. It's pared down, stripped. You know, it's people that don't fit in, that have something to say. And you know, Squint Todd has something to say. He's punk. He was all DIY. The recording is just him and a guitar. It's beautifully played. And we're not predictable, and we're not going to be predictable in the music we're going to play and our thoughts. And so we just said, let's do a change up here. Let's not have some, you know, traditional old school punk band playing our you know, intro and so forth. We're going to do somebody that was also punk. Johnny Cash was punk. You know, Waylon Jennings was punk. And so Squint Todd was punk. And that's why we chose him.
Thank you. Thank you, Legs. And he did choose that name because of some ancestor that was, he found those names in our past and put Squint Todd together, and I'll have to see if I can figure out who that was. I believe Todd was on my grandmother, my father's mother's side, was her maiden name, and then I think Squint was a nickname of a older relative, like, you know.
So he didn't
second
squint.
Second uncle.
So he didn't squint, I guess.
No. And so we're coming almost to the end of what we're doing today, but we are planning something, and we were talking about it and brainstorming, and we thought, well, let's just talk about it on the podcast, which is kind of what this thing is becoming. And what we're thinking of doing, which we'll see if it comes about, is we're definitely going to write something each week on one of the key topics, and we're going to decide what that is today. Maybe bicycles, where we would each write separately something around these topics that we're discussing and this one concept or word. And then we're talking about creating a zine, like a poster zine, that we'd work on each week. And then at the end of the month, we'd have this zine that we could offer up and just see. It may never come about. It may come about and turn into something else, but we thought we'd just mention it and talk about what we... I have something I want to share about zines in my past when I was in my 20s, but I'd like to know your impressions of zines.
Well, zines for me were everything. That, you know, I stumbled upon punk music. I've never heard of a zine before in my life. So I stumbled upon punk music by choice, you know, not by choice. It was just, I was in New York City, busking in Greenwich Village, while still going to college, and I heard people talking about, hey, have you been to CBGB's and Max's Kansas City? And I say, hey, what's this about? You know, I talk to anybody. What's this about? Well, now I'm seeing, so I go and I see all the bands. And yes, I know I was very fortunate, lucky to do that, except I never saw The Clash live, because I was playing ice hockey. That's a separate story. So one of the few regrets I have in my life. So, but they were already doing zines then. It was very common in the UK because, you know, the US had their own punk movement. UK had their own. It was very popular in the UK, but also they were doing it in the States. You know, it was self-promotion. It was collages and drawings and words. It was a way for fans to trade information about the bands they loved, find out about what's going on, because also, in a way, the flyers that were used for the punk bands were zines in themselves. You know, you could collect those. You could actually make a book, a magazine out of them, a booklet, because that's how you found out where the bands were playing, because they didn't play at the regular clubs. They played at all these little small houses and venues and so forth. And for me, when I see those, it just makes, it just warms my heart. It just makes me remember back when I was a kid, carefree, and it's going to be beautiful if we can recreate it at this point in our lives and offer something to our listeners.
Yeah, and I will just say I'm humbled by the art and what's happened, and I think all of that stuff, when you can say, oh, we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it in a month, I just want to be really clear that we're sharing, that we're going to just do some creative things that we haven't done before, and it may never see the light of day. And we wanted to say that if anyone has some zines, either you made a zine back in the day, you're making one now, you have anything you'd like to send us, you know, we'd love to maybe talk about it or show it, and then we'll just see what happens for us, and we'll just see what we've got. I like to downplay it, and it's like,
I want to hear the story.
We're gonna
I want to hear your story.
Oh, I just have a memory of this group I was hanging out with. I graduated from college and I was living in San Francisco, and that part of town, that might have even been when I was a roommate of Klaus Fluoride, just because he needed a roommate. But we were hanging out in the Upper Castro in San Francisco, and there were several people in bands. And I just remember, I can see in my mind this one zine that some people were working on, and I'm trying to remember like who of the group had it, but definitely remember a zine and how, yeah. How
well, cool the Dead Kennedys have a zine?
I was a dorky roommate
of
one of the band members because I needed a room, and have no punk credibility, remember? Other no. than my philosophies.
Yes, and no, you have more. You were living in the city and near Castro, and you were doing
That's
stuff.
That's just being the city, yeah, in my era of time, but
no.
Anyway.
She's really cool.
Let's see what we can do there.
Yeah.
And thanks.
Thank you.
Is that a wrap?
I think it's a wrap.
Okay.
I think we've talked enough.
Punk Farm.
Love life.
Do stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, and plants.
Ride his pony down life's lane, searching for the wild of all the pain he knows. Never be the same.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain. Be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. no wonder why. He's bound to drift along. He looks into the heavens, his only friend alone. On the widest train he's riding, Jimson weed and tumbleweed, but local weed is the kind he needs to freeze brain. The beast thinks he's insane. Join the party, join the crowd. Let the hyena circling laugh out loud and away. Lord knows he had his day. For strangers cry, as lonely as a pissed out wine. There's no wonder why. This old world, she goes round and round. Damn little good within it, he has found. She's a sad, sad song. The joke goes on and on. From the dust, dust he returns. Happen, let them fires burn, just drift away, 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 away. Those strangers cry.